Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 38, Episode 2 of Dead and Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For July 3rd, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You Can't Hide O'Brien Eyes, and your miles is a thin disguise. I thought by now you'd realize. Eyes.
Less dairy.
There ain't no way to hide O'Brien Eyes.
Woo!
That is snarky day side.
I am in tears.
I am moved. That was the AKA that I was going to do yesterday, and then Miles just brought the heat, and I was like, I can't do that. That is too good. You can't have two fire AKAs on the same day. Anyways, I am thrilled to be joined by today's co-host. He is Mr. Miles Frey! Yeah, I still have the thing. We never adapted that from last week when you were out.
Well, you know, that's fine.
Hey, don't count your chickens.
Well, gravy when we're geisting. I get so excited. Oh, how I like it. Try, but I can't fight it. Oh, you're graying real close. Plus, it's real slow. You're not making it hard for me because of VD.
Right.
Okay, and that one is from Igor Kikic on Twitter. Jack and I were talking. I don't know if I should ever just do an AKA again after yesterday.
I know, it was too good.
Yeah, I put my life upon the line yesterday and blacked out. and then had my guts ripped out later in the day. Anyway, yeah. But yeah, hi.
We'll get to that.
I'm loving being here again.
Hey,
with all
today's co-host, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Hey, and we are thrilled to have a double third seat, double bill in the third seat. We have the hosts of the newest podcast on the How Stuff Works Network. Caitlin Durante and Yami Lofty, a.k.a. Jamie Loftus, a.k.a. Lil Zam.
Lil Zam.
Hi.
What's up, guys? The hosts of the Bechdel Cast.
It's us.
Hi.
It's you.
We're good. Thanks for having us.
We're excited to have you.
We've hacked the mainframe.
I can't look at you right now, Jamie, with your fucking outfit.
Jamie has hacker sunglasses that are so upsetting.
I'm not wearing anything, and this is actually a pretty aggressive way to.
I think you stole something from the wardrobe truck on the movie Swordfish.
I just feel so insecure about all my passwords now.
I just hope that no one is distracted through the show today by the tiniest glasses that have ever been inducted into the world.
There is no doubt that you could hack into the mainframe right now with a gun to your head.
Oh yeah, if you're listening to this audio file, you have 7 days to live. Your password's been compromised.
Buckethead. It's Buckethead in the
house.
Hey
guys, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are as a joined human being?
It's called conjoined twins.
Yes. Sorry.
Wow.
Mine is tiny sunglasses in bulk.
Oh, no.
Because you lose them so much?
Because I just, I'm doing this hacker show, and I was like, what if everyone was wearing tiny sunglasses?
Oh.
It's not my tax bracket. I can aspire to be able
Are you
to
sure? I feel like you could find like a Alibaba kind of like mass producer out of China.
I gotta hack someone's bank account and be like, why is like Paul Ryan's bank account? Why were 300 pairs of tiny sunglasses and a bunch of tikka masala and diapers charged to Paul Ryan's bank account?
Tikka masala in diapers?
And diapers.
Oh.
For when you're
also
done with the tikka masala.
Yeah, I thought you were eating tikka masala out of a diaper. Anyway, that's fine.
Anyways.
Caitlin, I'm sure you have the same thing in your search history.
So we'll just move on.
What else do you have?
Sort of relevant, because I recently searched for coded gay Disney villains.
Coded gay
Disney villains who are coded gay.
Like Jafar?
Jafar, honey.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Jafar.
Scar.
Scar, mm-hmm. Jafar.
Basically all of them.
Joy Behar.
Ursula is definitely.
Hades. Yeah, I mean, Radigan from my favorite Disney movie, The Great Mouse Detective.
Whoa, that's a deep cut.
I know. Wow.
His name was Radigan?
Radigan.
Yeah.
What's The Great Mouse Detective?
It's the best Disney movie of all time, 1986. It's a Sherlock Holmes adaptation where there's a mouse and he's a great detective.
Oh, yeah. I remember these motherfuckers, yeah.
There's no computers in it, so it's not really a great movie.
There's nothing to be hacked. Although he does have to hack a mystery. I suppose.
It's like an analog hack.
Doesn't it start from the premise that there is a like two-scale model of London underneath London built by
Mouse London.
That's really cute.
It's a great movie, you guys.
That was dumb of mice to do the exact same thing. Or just brilliant.
Yeah, think outside the box, you dumb idiot. Yeah.
Or
you could have built anything.
Whoever built London got the idea from the mice.
Yeah, they adapted it.
We can't know.
Oh, yes.
Guys, what is something you think is overrated?
I think Scarlett Johansson is overrated.
Oh, no.
Huh? I think I'm on board for that.
Well, here's specifically why I say this today. It was just announced that she will play a trans man in an upcoming movie called Rub and Tug.
Uh-huh. That's also Asian. Just to add to the levels of this.
Whitewashed, trans, yeah. So
wait,
that's
what's
upsetting.
The movie? What is it about?
It's about, I might be getting some of this wrong, but it's about like this chain of massage parlors in Pittsburgh. I forget from what era that like had ties to like gangs and like organized crime and like all this stuff, like sex worker rings, things like that. Mm-hmm. But the like leader of these massage parlors, like the, I don't know, founder,
right.
was a trans man. And Scarlett Johansson was cast to play that role.
When you think about it, like Oscar bait roles really are just like famous actors being like, whose narrative can I co-opt to get a trophy now?
Right.
Like that's so often the case.
Yeah.
I think the Mensa organization's overrated.
Sorry.
So have we, I don't think we've announced since you were last on, but.
You are pregnant.
I am 6 months pregnant I was here last
and
Thursday.
Explain to people what that means, being 6 months pregnant.
Being 6 months pregnant basically means that 6 months ago.
You're in Mensa now.
I hacked a Greg. His little zeros and ones coagulated inside of me. And then I hacked time. So that's the 6 months thing.
Yes.
And also I got into Mensa literally right after I left the studio on Thursday.
That's incredible. So you are a Mensa member along with
genius.
Sharon Stone. And
no, they lowered the standards. I've done a lot of research on it. But anyone can do it.
And now
what do you mean
you
anyone can do it?
I mean, anyone can do it.
You have
you
to be pretty smart, Jamie. Come on.
You could be. Yeah, I mean,
and
I
you
am
have
a
to
hacker.
Have a collection of pretty wild sunglasses, I think.
Yeah.
The smaller the glasses, the higher your chances are of getting in. But it's been very boring. They offered me a discount on Geico car insurance, and I don't have a driver's license. So far, pretty useless.
Wait, so far, the only perk of being in Mensa was a Geico discount?
Yes.
So it's like
AAA. Can I use that? Should we get married so that I can use that?
Yeah. Someone has to be able to use it. Yeah. So far, it's just been embarrassing.
I would love to just see a video of you going around the city and then trying to flex, like to get like discounts on things, like at a Subway. You're like, I'm actually in Mensa, so. And
so
they're like, what?
I get free mayonnaise. You actually have to give me a jar of mayonnaise because I'm really smart.
I'm in Mensa.
I'm just going to go around the city trying to get free mayonnaise.
Sure. That sounds about your speed.
But so to get into Mensa, you took a test.
I took a test.
And yeah, you hacked Mensa is kind of the idea, right?
I had to have. I just don't see how it would have been possible for me to pass the test considering the circumstances. But I did.
What do you mean considering the circumstances?
Well, this I was very uncomfortable the whole time because it was just like me and this like really bizarre test proctor who was like, I like to fix organs. Like his whole thing, his whole thing was like, I fix organs. I used to be an engineer and now I fix organs. And then I was trying to like get him to be my friend and I was like, oh, this seems really cool. And he's like, yeah, well, if you get in.
Right.
I was like, whoa. Wow. He was nagging me. And then that, I was like, I'll show this
on.
Organ guy.
Organ and, fixer.
Are you going to be able to rub it in his face? No?
Oh, I already emailed him and rubbed it in his face.
Yes.
OMG, did it. And then sent a picture of me in tiny glasses.
Nice.
You should be like, I have this organ I need work on. You should come over. And then it comes, it's just you in the room giving him the finger with like, I'm in Mensa now, poster behind you.
What's up, bitch?
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
What's something you guys think is underrated?
Oh, my thing. I don't know if this is so much underrated as it is just like not well known that I want to tell people about.
Okay.
It's a web series called The Gay and Wondrous Life of Caleb Gallo.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys know it?
I don't.
It's great. It's so funny. And I just realized all of the things, all of my like overrated, underrated search history things are something having to do with queer culture.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
what is used to be Pride last month?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, this month, we'll get into what this month became. Uh-huh. One town of California. So where is the web? It's just on YouTube?
You can just find it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
It's created by Brian Jordan Alvarez.
And how did you catch wind of it?
I had a few different friends who recommended it to me.
Yeah.
I think it's only 5 or 6 episodes long, but it's like super funny. Highly recommend. Check it out.
Is it new or is it from like the era when web series were being? Because I feel like nowadays when you hear web series, it's like tough to like hear, like to even know where, you know, everybody has web series. So it's hard to get through that.
It's a couple years old. I think it was like 2016, 2017.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Peak web series.
Exactly.
Jamie, what's something you think is underrated?
Underrated are the people from Mensa who email you. I've gotten maybe 12 emails in the past 24 hours from various Mensa members with various takes on me being in Mensa.
Oh.
So one that I particularly liked was from someone named Johnny Vaughn.
Yeah.
Who basically said, Mensa's great. He made a list, an itemized list of 5 things. But my favorite one was he's like, Mensa is like free therapy. If you're feeling down and out, visit a gathering. You're guaranteed to see people more socially awkward or screwed up than yourself. Bad hair day? There's someone with worse hair.
And you can find them in Mensa. I do not doubt that.
Bad zit day? Guaranteed you can find a meeting where you will still be the Miss America of the room. So shouts out Johnny Vaughn for being like, everyone who's in Mensa looks like absolute shit.
Yeah.
And you can feel better about yourself by hanging out with them.
Take a look at the freak show.
Wow.
Oh, those are cool. My favorite ones.
Wait, so there are meetings. Mensa like has regular meetings where people just hang out with other Mensa members.
Yeah,
and just scoff at books.
Do Sudoku.
I don't know. I mean, I got access to like this secret calendar, which I will leak to you right now. There's an event happening a week from today that I'm definitely going to called Tooth Tuesday. No information written about what it is. Just Tooth Tuesday and an address.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So it's got like a real, real secret society vibes.
Yeah, you're going to be playing like poker where you use like teeth as chips or
something.
I'm
going to pull my tooth out at some point.
Yes, exactly. They're like, all right, entry fee, your molars.
It's just a way less ambitious skull and crossbones. They're like, we have one tooth, your mouth teeth. Guys, what's a myth?
Your mouth teeth.
Your mouth teeth, as I call my teeth. What is a myth? What's something you guys know to be false that people think is true?
I always struggle with this one every time I come on the show. So I think in keeping with my theme of
struggling,
but today's theme of, queer culture, the myth that, queer people are vampires. That's not true.
Yeah, I know. I hate that one.
Yeah. So I'm here to dispel the
myth. Are you sure?
You know what? I'm not sure, but
I was reading this blog, tedhickman.com, and I felt like he had some good ideas on there.
My myth is that Gollum from Lord of the Rings isn't, like, cute.
Isn't cute. He is kind of cute.
He's
that's
really,
really
cute.
That's a good
he's
point.
Really cute.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's Smeagol.
Caitlin and I and Sophie watch all 3 Lord of the Rings for an upcoming episode, hot plug, the other day. And I think that Gollum's cute. And I also think that if you French kiss Gollum, his tongue would be so strong it could knock your tooth out.
And then you'd have admission for your.
What do you
and
think?
And then I could go to Tooth Tuesday.
When you look at Smeagol, what do you see? Tell me what. When you look upon this creature,
I see a lot of passion.
I think
I
you have to hear him talk to realize how cute he is.
He is cute. He's got like longish hair. That's fun.
Longish hair. Like, you mean he has like 14 hairs?
I think there's something like childlike about him, cute in that way, not necessarily in a way that makes me picture,
you know,
French kiss.
Honestly, if he had a different, if he wore clothes,
right,
I think I would fuck with Smeagol.
Yeah.
The fact that he's just out here in the loincloth, I'm like, ugh, bro. Go bite on your whole fish somewhere
else.
Let's
take him to Old Navy, get him a 4th of July tee. Get him. And then I'll bring him on a little date. It'll be cute.
With his bucket hat, little bucket hat, tiny sunglasses.
Like, did you guys hear Smeagol's dating a local hacker?
Then he just looks like a regular gin drinking DJ.
He's cute.
No, he's not.
You need to get into a major media publication described as local hacker Jamie Loftus.
Local hacker.
That needs to happen. All right, let's talk about fast food, Miles.
Let's talk Smeagol.
Talk Smeagol.
Well, yes. High Times, as I call it, the Bible, they declared Taco Bell as the perfect stoner restaurant. And that's based off, they use this whole scale of grading a restaurant on their menu, the convenience, the environment, and food quality. Taco Bell scored a 40 out of 50, putting them above Denny's and Little Caesars. Now,
Little Caesars doesn't seem like it would be on the list necessarily.
Oh, well, hold on.
I would have expected like Wendy's before Little Caesars.
Well, Jack
right?
in the Box seems to be the one that most clearly.
I don't think it's. I think it, that
because
Jack
because
in the Box isn't
national.
Fully national.
Got
you know
it.
What I mean? T-Bell is everywhere.
Got it.
But I mean, Little Caesars, come on. You walk in, you got a hot ready for five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you get that pan loco, that crazy bread. Bruh,
there's
I love crazy
not,
bread.
Like culture around Little Caesars that there is around Taco Bell. Like no one like loiters there. No one throws up at Little Caesars.
Right.
And that's what I'm looking for.
I don't
for
know.
In
have
my
you been to the one on
Cahuenga
and Magnolia?
<They're>, really?
You're fucking up over there.
Is that one on Cahuenga?
Yeah. But I don't know. I shout out to Taco Bell because I had a homie that used to work there on the one on Ventura in Sherman Oaks. You could, if you pulled up after 11, you're like, yo, it's me. He would hook you up all free food because he hated his manager.
No way.
And the apple caramel apple empanada, love it.
Really?
Yes, I love the caramel apple. Yes,
I would
I know
never
you're shaking
fuck
head.
With
you're
dessert
not
at Taco Bell.
Oh,
no, you're
man,
wrong.
My man,
must
it's
be
not.
Wrong.
It's not just cinnamon twists, my man.
Okay.
But it also is cinnamon twists.
But it also is cinnamon twists. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how people feel about Taco Bell. It's so disgusting to me that I love it.
Wait, can I? What is everyone's order? Like at Taco Bell.
Oh, I'm such a weird person. I eat a lot of Mexi Melts, which aren't, they're like
Whoa.
At the bottom of the menu in fine print.
Okay,
it's like a bygone thing. It's basically a soft tortilla with just meat, cheese, and tomato, which is it's like a little bit short of being a Taco Supreme, or a Supreme Soft Taco, or the spicy chicken quesadilla, and that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the only things I fuck with. Never eat hard tacos there.
Spicy chicken quesadilla is one of mine, and grilled stuffed burrito, extra time on the grill.
Oh.
Those are my two.
Oh,
yeah. Specifically, you have a special
yeah.
order.
Yeah, wow. I have a special order. Because it just makes it, sometimes it'll be a little undercooked if you don't request that, but that makes sure that it's like very crispy.
Mm.
Got it.
What about you?
I do the beefy five-layer meal that comes with chippies and a
pair of
Baja
glasses.
Blast.
Oh, yeah.
Baja Blast is peak hacker beverage.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It's
that's
basically
for sure.
Battery acid. It'll make your gums bleed.
That's a Mountain Dew flavor?
Nice.
Yeah. That is only available at Taco Bell?
I think
I'm
when the grilled
sure.
stuffed burrito came out, it was also around the time Baja Blast came out, and I was playing a hockey game, high school hockey game, and I was with my friend Nick. We were driving back to try this thing. And this is the one time I deviated from what I normally get at Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. We got in a fucking car accident right after. Spilled the Baja Blast all over his fucking car, mom's car. It was done.
Oh, I thought the Baja Blast caused the accident.
No. We were just driving and we were like,
just like
yo,
so
we got the new shit. And then like, boom, we get like T-boned to the intersection.
People's T-bone right, orders are very telling.
Yeah.
It says a lot about
well,
you.
I'm afraid to say that I almost never go to Taco Bell.
That's
so
fine.
I don't
you don't have
rogue. An order. But I will say that I do
rogue.
Have a...
She's gone rogue.
I do have a British friend named British Martha who loves Taco Bell because there, I don't think, are any, if not many or any, Taco Bells in England. So she was, when she lived abroad here in the U.S., was very excited.
Is that
so I would go with her sometimes.
British Martha sounds like an alter ego when you drink. You're like, I have a friend, British Martha, you know, she loves Taco Bell.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gallon
oh,
of
come
Baja
on,
Blast.
Jamie, let's go to fucking Taco Bell, yeah? Oh, my goodness.
I'm pretty fucked up.
Now,
this is okay. Interesting accent.
Would you say that the stoner restaurant scale translates to the drunk restaurant scale? Are they pretty much one-to-one?
I don't know. You know, because stoners, you got to think of, like, when you really, really get, like, the munchies, you probably, at least when I was younger, I had no cash. So I would be like, yo, flip the fucking couch. What kind of fucking coins can we find?
Right.
Or whatever. And then you want to take that to, you know, it's more about probably quantity over quality.
When you have the munchies?
Yeah, well, when I'm drunk, though.
Put away a lot of food.
I used to eat a lot, too. I don't know. I guess it probably is similar. Maybe we need to find what that, I guess to me, obviously the menu matters when you're drunk. Convenience matters. Environment, not so much, I don't think, when you're drunk.
Environment, not a big deal.
Because you'll eat a half a pizza next to a rotting corpse on a freeway overpass.
Yes, yes.
If you're hungry enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles has pictures of him doing this very thing.
That's like me being Smeagol, but with with a corpse leg.
14 hairs.
14 hairs. 14 hairs.
You're like, give it to us, rock.
Yeah. I think the main difference might be that you just don't care about spending money when you're drunk. So
exactly.
You will just spend all your money.
Yeah, because then you'll be like, I remember the Jack in the Box, you get the two tacos for $1. You'd be like, yo, I can get fucking 10 tacos for $5.
It is a price thing. I feel like I'm more likely to do like Postmates Tika when I'm drunk than when I'm high. High, for some reason, you are going for like a cheaper. I don't know. Why is that?
I don't know.
Because weed costs more than booze.
Wait, well, sorry, just to clarify, depends. Tika in diapers, right?
Tika, right. Yeah. On the
please serve it to me in a diaper.
That's my custom order. please deliver it in a diaper.
In a diaper, please. That's interesting. You bring up Postmates.
Yes, it is interesting.
Transition.
What?
Transition
a segue.
Lenses.
So, Miles, Jessica Simpson is back in the news again.
Yes.
And
she's the GOAT.
She is.
She is the GOAT.
She is now officially a patron saint of something here at the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes. The queen of Postmates, the queen of delivery.
She, it has been rumored, told to Radar Online, which we were discussing. Radar Online is still a gossip, you know, website, but it's a step above American Media Inc., like the Bloids that we talk about on Fridays. Like, they aren't written by a close friend of Donald Trump in the voice of Donald Trump. They just seem to use the same sort of journalistic techniques where they have unnamed sources. But I feel like stuff that they report eventually gets confirmed about half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is, I think, somewhat believable.
This is good.
Yeah.
They're reporting
that
she has spent $100,000 on Postmates in 1 month because she does not leave the fucking house. And that is tight to me. Because if I had my way, I would just be sitting down and have everything brought to me constantly like the boy king that I believe myself to be.
See, I find this to be horrifying. Because if you have $100,000 a month to spare,
right,
and you're just spending it on yourself and like eating, how do you spend $100,000 a month on like food and?
So this is what they say: insiders revealed to Radar exclusively, Simpson 37 and her former NFL player hubby Eric Johnson 38 have quote nothing to do.
That's such a weird detail to have.
So they spend all their time together with the kids drinking and eating. Quote, it's been a cycle of eating and drinking, says the source.
Isn't that just life, though?
They just don't want to leave their house. Well, she has so much money from her Jessica Simpson fashion empire.
Oh, sure.
Sold exclusively at Kohl's, Macy's, wherever.
Walmart.
Finer wares are peddled.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's still getting royalties from Newlyweds.
Oh, I wonder.
A classic.
I wonder how
and Chicken of the Sea, Chicken of the Sea tuna.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if you have that much money to spare and you're not like donating it to good causes and you're just like spending it all on yourself,
yes,
hate
of
it.
Course. Well, so I use it as a joke, but
we don't know. Like, sorry, let me just
how
take
hungry
off my
she is.
There, we don't know how hungry she is, and she could also be giving money, you know, outside of this $100K.
Maybe she's doing $1,000 tips every time.
That's true. Yeah, uh-huh. Maybe she's stealing from the rich, a.k.a. And herself.
I used to be a Postmates driver for a few months when
oh,
I first
I
moved.
That.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I drove for Postmates.
And did you ever make a delivery to Jessica Simpson?
I certainly did not, no.
You would know, though, because I think she wears like a whole outfit to try and obscure her.
Yeah.
Shameful.
She's got a hacker disguise.
It's kind of similar to like what I'm wearing today.
Yeah,
right. All right. We're going to take a quick break to contemplate $100,000 of Postmates orders, and then we'll be back right after that. And we're back. And quick, we wanted to check in with the international scene.
Yeah.
What's going on with North Korea, first of all, because Mike Pompeo is traveling back to North Korea at the end of this week, I think on Thursday, to meet with, you know, diplomats there to continue the conversation that started a month ago between Kim Jong-un and President Donald
Wait,
Trump.
Wait, why does he need to go back? It's been settled.
Right.
There's, Donald Trump just did the handshake.
Sleep
the
well tonight.
Closed. I'm sorry, was that not fixed?
So, you know, if you stopped paying attention at that point, if you were like, hey, you said we don't have to pay attention anymore, so.
So, thank you.
Done and done. Every expert on the subject thinks that President Trump is either being like willfully obtuse because he knows that, you know, just saying it's done with is good for business and good for his approval ratings, or he has like legitimately been tricked by North Korea and people aren't sure which one it is.
Jesus.
Because he keeps referring back to the fact that like he's like, I met him, I shook his hand, I looked in his eyes, we have like a close personal bond, I believe him. And then, you know, there was satellite footage last week that shows that they have continued just with that unimpeded to upgrade their nuclear facilities on like both coasts. Their main nuclear facility is still like fully operational. So Pompeo is headed over there to basically ask them to.
What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. So
I thought this was done.
He's like, guys, excuse me? Like someone announced, excuse me? I'm sorry.
So part of the issue is nobody really knows what has been promised, like what Trump promised him, because they like the meat of the deal is being carried out like some sort of like golf course handshake thing where he's just like, I looked him in the eye, we're cool, we understand each other, rather than the traditional way, which would be, you know, poring over a document like the incredibly important legal contract that it is. So people like don't know what each side is. Like as it is, we have a, you know, page and a half double-spaced Word document full of, like, vaguely defined terms.
Right.
One of them is total denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, which Trump clearly thinks means they will get rid of their nuclear weapons. But it has, like, every North Korea expert is like, no, they have used that phrase for decades.
Yeah, every time.
To mean that the U.S. has to remove their nuclear umbrella from the region that protects Japan and South Korea. It's like, it's the last thing, like, the last step on their list. And so he agreed to the very last thing, like the biggest ask that they had on their list. He was like, yeah, sure. So I don't know. We'll see how the Pompeo meeting goes. I think there's a very plausible timeline now that, you know, Xi Jinping came to Mar-a-Lago last year. They were reportedly floored by how basic Trump's understanding of international relations were. And then North Korea is in this war of words with him at that time. And suddenly Kim Jong-un is like, actually, let's be friends and set up a meeting. And he was down because Xi Jinping had basically told him, okay, all you have to do is like tell this guy he's like
literally
smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to give you everything you want. And so, yeah, I don't know. And they really haven't given anything up, and the Americans and South Koreans.
It's like
and
all
Japanese
small
have
stuff where they're like, oh, they're like ramping down the anti-U.S. propaganda stuff, like stuff like that's being removed. And I guess to Trump, like that seems like, yeah, see, they love us. So
Well, because he's still like operating on the assumption that everyone is forming their policy based on the book that was ghostwritten for him like 25 years ago. He's like, oh, the famous diplomatic text, The Art of the Deal. And that's how, and like Trump's never going to do one of those reading deals. He's going to do we made eye contact and we touched each other's skin and therefore I fixed the nuclear problem.
What did he say this morning? Didn't he tweet something this morning where he's like, we would have been in a total nuclear war if it wasn't for me? Like, he tweeted some dumb shit this morning.
Probably.
Along those lines.
That sounds like him.
Anyways, someone come and wipe my butt, please.
This morning.
I want him to start tweeting out
his demands.
The presidential butt wiper. Someone's got that new job.
New Twitter account. This is what he tweeted this morning. Many good conversations with North Korea. It is going well. In the meantime, no rocket launches or nuclear testing in 8 months. All of Asia is thrilled. Only the opposition party, which includes the fake news, is complaining. If not for me, we would now be at war with North Korea. So, cool.
Yeah. Fox News even, like, there's an article on Fox News that's saying, how can we be shocked that North Korea went back on its word? North Korea has never kept its word when it comes to any atomic agreement. Like, they're writing the same thing that he says the opposition party is writing. Like, everybody is in agreement.
Yeah, that's, like, the one thing Fox couldn't really come around, except for, like, Hannity and, like, Tucker Carlson. But, like, everyone else is like, no. The handshake didn't solve this problem.
Right.
And it was really foolish to even think it was.
So in addition to the Pompeo meeting happening on the 5th, on Thursday, this is also relevant because Trump has a meeting with another incredibly important foreign official, one Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin.
Talk about someone with a tongue strong enough to not get into the house.
Oh, yeah.
Putin's tongue.
A new Twitter account at Putin's tongue.
They have, so you're saying, Miles, that they have written into the schedule that will be 7 minutes.
They are gonna, well, basically, I'm calling it Trump and Putin doing 7 minutes in heaven on July 16th because there's gonna be a face to face meeting where they will first meet one on one, man versus Cheeto. In a room with no aides, absolutely none. And then later on, the aides will come in, similar to the North Korea meeting.
Right.
But what's odd about this is because when there's no aides or whatever, that there won't be an official record of what was said. And so it'll be hard to know what agreements were made or what deal, what was spoken about. So it's very, who knows what the fuck they're going to talk about. It could be Putin
Why
being like, hey,
allowed?
My guy, ramp up to hot rhetoric because we hacked the midterms too, right. Thanks to Jamie Loftus or whatever the hackers they get.
We gotta get the hackers in there.
But yeah, so again, this is like one of those things too where he met with Kim Jong-un one-on-one. We're not quite sure what happened there because no one was in there to know and no aides were present. No diplomats were there to be like, hey, this is a very complex thing. And they're going to be talking about election interference, Syria, nuclear weapons. But who knows if that's what they talk about on their one-on-one. I don't know. So we don't know.
But it does seem like, for whatever reason, America's sort of international adversaries or, you know, these people that we have a lot to lose in our interactions with have seen fit to, like, keep having these one-on-one meetings with Trump where nobody else is around. It's probably because he's really good at game theory and is just besting them.
They just want to spend time with a really cool guy.
Right.
That's so terrible. I mean, because there's no, like, version of the world in all the infinite ways it could go that ends well for this country. Like, just nothing.
Whatever. You know?
Hey,
we'll see.
It's fine. Man.
It's fine. 4th of July.
4th of July, bro.
Get your old Navy t-shirts and break out the shandies, baby.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. It's very horrible. Anytime I see Trump and Putin together, it makes my skin crawl because who knows what the fuck. I mean, the grossest version is like Putin's just like telling him how to run shit. And another version, he's just playing Donald Trump because he's like just this senile old weirdo. So...
Weird way to describe horniness, that your skin crawls when you see
it. The one thing that cures my ED. Trump and Putin shaking hands.
So it is almost 4th of July, 4th of July tomorrow. By the way, Miles and I and super producer Anna Hosnier and super producer Nick Stumpfluffagus will be checking in with some overrated, underrated of our own.
Yeah.
So you guys can look forward to that.
Mine will all be based on the year 1999.
Yeah.
So keep that conceptual.
Get ready for some hot takes on Fruitopia.
Whoa, hey, okay, come on now. Don't burn my
high concept hot takes.
The year that The Matrix came out, too. Mm-hmm. Hacking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's all connected, guys.
I have my little Morpheus ones that they just rest on the bridge of my nose. That's what you need.
Yeah. That's the missing ingredient.
Yes. But this being sort of a key point in the summer. We wanted to check in with the summer of Scott.
Scott Pruitt, baby. He is on back at it again. Well, really, we're just finding more and more out. So this weekend, we got a trove of letters and communications from a Freedom of Information Act request, I think that the Sierra Club initiated. And they're basically a bunch of love letters to the petro gods at like Chevron and other various climate change denying earth fuckers. Where Pruitt is like writing sweet little nothings in the corner. He's like, so good to meet with you. Like, really had a great time. Oh. And I mean, there's nothing really tremendously surprising, but it's just when you read the letters, you're like, oh, that's exactly how I'd imagine Scott Pruitt is talking to these people who, in most other administrators in the EPA in years past, would have been like, not writing shit like this.
Does he write letters to his own stinky mattress?
No, sadly no. Although one of them is written on a mattress tag. But we also found out this week that he has two schedules. There's a public one that the public, obviously, that we see that shows like his official appointments that he has. And another one that's more private, where he has his naughty little meetups with like problematic energy producers or like actual sex crims, like Cardinal Pell. Who is a clergy member who is, I think, about going to face a trial sometime this year for sexual abuse. But so he would basically have aides go through his public schedule and be like, yo, comb it for whatever is going to make me look bad, basically, because he even knows shit looks bad. And yeah, I mean, I guess normally that would be a problem because that would be like falsifying records. But it's 2018.
It's 2018. So Scott knows? Pruitt's Google Cal is open season.
Yeah, he's hacked. He's hacked our brain. and then we also found out more because he's still trying to get Shorty a job. He's got his all of his assistants full steam ahead trying to get his wife a job, but for no less than $200,000 a year. She's not a peasant, okay? Because we got fucking mortgages on all these houses. So yeah, he's just demanding, like Samantha Dravis was one of his aides. She, I think in her testimony, when she was talking to the, I think, ethics committee, who was also ex-girlfriend of Rob Porter, who's the one who may or may not have like leaked the info on Rob Porter out there because this administration is so fucking messy. Yes, she was confirming like, yeah, I had to go look at like the Association of Attorneys General in the U.S. to try and get her a job somewhere. Got her a job, but less than $200K. So, you know, my hearts are with them, you know, for all the people struggling out there making less than $200,000 a year.
How are they going to buy, you know, $100,000 worth of Postmates every month with that salary?
That's not sustainable.
No.
That's 2 months income. That's
2 months. What do they do the other 10 months? Starve? I don't think so. And then along with that, there's this other story about how he just in general is like so cheap. He's trying to keep the optics of his spending low. So he'll ask like aides to use their personal credit cards to pay for stuff. So during the transition, he asked an aide to put a $600 hotel room for his family on their personal card. Hmm. And then when they got their credit card bill, this aide went to the chief of staff and was like, hey, he had me put $600 on my card for this hotel room. And the chief of staff was like, sorry, the window for transition expenses has closed. And so, yeah, they were like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to? I just paid for this dude's family's hotel room. What the fuck? And then, like, I guess a few weeks later or something, a month or two later, like $600 cash was, like, left on her desk
really?
To pay for it. But, like, this is the kind of just dumb shit that this fucking kleptocrat, again, this man is in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency, not the cool scam lord who's cheap as fuck agency. And so, obviously, people have an opinion on this man because he's completely just letting companies do whatever they want to the earth and not looking out for our future with things like climate change. He joined the prestigious club of administrators who have been confronted in public. Recently, he was confronted by a teacher who was holding her child, and she caught him at lunch and was like, had some few words to say. Then someone recorded it. Check this out.
Hi. I just wanted to urge you to resign. My son loves animals, he loves clean air, he loves clean water. Meanwhile, you're slashing strong business standards for cars and trucks for the benefits of big corporations. You've been paying about $50 a night to say that DC condo is connected to an energy lobby while approving our Dirty Sands pipeline. We deserve to have somebody at the EPA who actually does protect our environment, somebody who believes in climate change and keeps it seriously for the benefit of all of us, including our children. So I would urge you to resign before your scandals push you out.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. If you
pretty
couldn't,
concise.
Yeah, it was just hard to hear with all the talking in the restaurant. But yeah, she was basically like, "Hi, you're a fucking scumbag. You're taking right. money from lobbyists. You then approve their deals. You know, the laundry list of things that we always bring up on the show." And then she's just like, "Yeah, I urge you to resign." Very politely too.
I know,
yeah.
Very polite.
And the whole time he was just kind of
done, man.
Thumping his fingers on the table like this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like
it's
just
a video.
Yeah, yeah, it's a video. Nice. Yeah, and he's just kind of not saying anything because
he's
of course,
drinking oil from a mason jar. It's just like
he's drinking oil out of the skull of a baby seagull or something like that.
He's like, proceed. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, we'll see. I know that the inspector general who handles like a lot of the ethics stuff at the EPA, they're clearly investigating him. But you'd think at this point he would be one to resign. But I think he's doing the Lord's work. And by the Lord, we mean, you know, the energy companies. So.
Right. Has there ever been a scandal where the inspector general just like can't complete it because they keep committing crimes? And like he's just like,
much.
Well, yeah, it's just too much crimes.
It's like, and I ran out of ink in my pen.
Right. just never.
Yeah, I think in a right now, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Because they're also in these other stories that they're reporting, apparently they sort of gutted the ethics department at the EPA when he first took office by just sort of letting people retire, transition out, and not rehiring anyone. So at one point, it was down to just one person working there. And of course, when that happens, you're going to buy tactical pants and do all that dumb shit. So.
Oh, right. Tactical pants, yeah. Tactical polos. All right. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back, and we have a story from the town of Dixon, California. Their vice mayor wrote an op-ed.
Vice mayor, though. It's
yeah,
amazing title.
Vice mayor. Not the real mayor, just the vice mayor.
Assistant to the vice mayor.
Right. He wrote an op-ed where he called for Straight Pride American Month, which is spam.
Spam!
Cool.
He must have thought that was cool. Because
he's calling it spam?
I think so.
No,
he's calling it
Straight
Pride
American
Month, which month in America would have made more sense, but he thought spam was like a cool thing to call it, I guess. But the op-ed is just really worth reading. I don't know. Should we just read it to people?
There's just parts of it. I mean, suffice to say that this is from an insanely ignorant, maybe drunk guy as he writes
really
it.
He really seems drunk, yeah.
Or who knows. But yeah, I mean, there are some real interesting things in there that someone who holds public office should not be fucking saying. And yeah.
Lots of parentheticals in here.
Yeah. It starts off, "Now hundreds of millions of the rest of us can celebrate our month, peaking on July 4th as healthy, heterosexual, fairly monogamous, keep our kinky stuff to ourselves Americans. We do it with our parades in every state and county in this country, with families celebrating together. We honor our country and our veterans who have made all of this possible, including for the Tinkerbells."
Which is what he calls.
"And we can do it with actual real pride, not some put-on show just to help our inferior complex show we are different type of crap."
Mm. Oh, good. He said crap.
Yeah. Type of crap. And
inferior
crap
complex?
That's not inferiority?
Crap. Yeah. That's what's just funny. Like,
yeah, inferior complex. Also, type of crap is just like toxic white male punctuation. You just like put it anywhere to end a sentence.
For your social justice call, Kaepernick type of crap.
Right. Just throw type of crap there and it ends the sentence.
Yeah, we are different from them. We work, have families, and babies we make. Enjoy and love the company and marriage of the opposite sex, and don't flaunt our differences dressing up like fairies, completely
Faries.
Misspelled,
yeah.
And prancing by the thousands in a parade in nearby San Francisco to be televised all over the world. Yes.
Deathblood of San Francisco.
Yeah, this guy, if you look at his photo, it will shock you.
Not
I don't
shock
know.
You at all.
It will
It'll
not
be
shock
the least
you.
Surprising photo you've ever looked
at. He
has
a handlebar mustache and a fedora that...
Literally the most flaccid human I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I just love when people go for this like, well, if there's pride, like how come there isn't Straight Pride Month? And you're like, yeah, every fucking day of the year, asshole.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? It's, yeah, the culture wars, man. They really have people thinking that this is like as in your capacity as vice mayor, like he was trying to proclaim the month too.
What does the mayor think?
The mayor,
yeah, that's
well, the
what,
mayor,
that was my question.
Any word from the mayor?
The mayor was like, oh, well, I believe that it's like their First Amendment right, blah, blah, blah. It was like, it was some real half-assed defense, but also not like, but also I don't believe in talking about people of our community like that. I don't know. Dixon, from what I hear from super producer Anna Hosnier, who's familiar with the city, it makes kind of sense for that area, right, Anna?
The only thing they have going on in the town is their 24-hour Walmart.
Oh, shit.
But it is 24 hours. Okay, well, they have that.
So that's pretty
wow.
cool.
So there's
way to drive all of our listeners to Dixon.
Imagine this guy being like your coworker, though. Like, that's oof.
Well, like, his website is a fucking just, it's like his version of Twitter, where he has like a bunch of one-line jokes in there that are absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the one? He's like, my mother loved circumcision so much, she cut off all the collars on our shirts and wouldn't let us wear turtlenecks. Like, it's like a literal fucking quote from this guy's website.
I hope it was like in word art.
No, I mean nearly. Like, it like alternates between like font styles and colors. Some are italicized, some are bold. And they're actually just like tweets, but he doesn't understand the internet. So it's just like this fucking one post full of these quote unquote jokes.
And he's like, please take my spam seriously.
Sounds like a comedic genius to me. So
he's something. He's something else. So yeah. The other thing was there are people who were in the comments of like, I think the website that posted or whatever. They're like, oh, well, now we're going to start a recall campaign to recall you. And he's like, well, I'm up for re-election in November. And it's like, okay, so you're telling people how to vote you out?
Don't bother.
Don't bother. I mean, November, you can vote me out, and I'll go back to selling fireworks, which I think he does.
If only all, like, problematic white politicians were, like, this easy. Like, well, actually, here is the way for you to right. get me out of office.
Oh, nice try. I'm only up for re-election in November for right. vice mayor or whatever the fuck that
Seems
means.
Seems like a difficult person to win an argument against.
Vice mayors. I'm still, shout out to vice mayor.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
He goes out. So right now, if you don't want any Faris, he misspells it the same way both times, to expire, you can clap your hands. See, I do have a heart. I just can't type and clap at the same time. So I had to make a hard choice, didn't I? So like, that's what leads me to believe that he's drunk, is the way he ends it is like, he's just like kind of spiraling off into these like Huckabee-esque non sequiturs.
We should workshop that.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Anyways, the firework I have put in my ass is about to go off. So better send.
3, 2, whoops, call the fire department.
The vice fire department.
For the vice fire department.
The vice fire.
Not to be confused with the vice police.
Yeah, vice police. Yeah, vice. Yeah.
The department.
Real crimes.
All right, it's time for some sports shit.
Oh, really? Like what?
So the NBA offseason continues to be terrible for most people.
Am I right, Jamie?
Oh, it just got... yeah.
You said it.
I hacked the
Am
basketball.
Am I right, Caitlin?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins, rather than continuing to build the Lakers into a third power in the NBA, signed with the side that's already winning, the Golden State Warriors. Nobody's happy about it. Rajon yeah. Rondo did sign with the Lakers.
I hate him from his time with the Celtics, but he is an avid roller skater.
Right.
No
and there
way.
Are sick videos of him roller skating. Like, that's how he blows steam off. And he is like bounce rock skate, old
yeah.
school, like roll bounce type fucking roller skating.
No way.
Yeah.
All right.
Very odd to see for someone with such broad shoulders and gigantic hands.
He is known for having called a ref a homophobic slur during a game. And one of the reporters from the city where he was coming from, New Orleans, he said, my lasting impression of Rondo came in locker room scrum after Anthony Davis, the best player on Rondo's team last year, had 53 points versus the Suns. Me, you've played with and against a lot of great players in your career, Rajon. Can you put into perspective what Anthony Davis is doing right now? Rondo, what you want me to do, suck him off? Reporter, okay.
Wow, cool. So yeah.
Not to put Boston athletes in a bucket, but that does sound like a Boston athlete
that sounds
response.
Like Boston.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Lakers. Jesus.
Get your shit together.
But really, what we really need to talk about is the what? Oh,
World
shit!
World Cup date!
The World Cup date. Woo, woo, woo! Wow, I love this.
Wow.
Dance song.
Cool that you guys had laser lights installed for that.
Just for that.
Smoke machine.
Oh, yeah. We should have gave a warning to anyone in the studio that's suffers from epilepsy.
We all just took shots. Yeah.
So, wow. What a few days. Yesterday, Japan played Belgium, and I had my fucking guts ripped out. Japan, ranked number 61, played honorably against the number 3 team in the world, Belgium. We went up 2-0 in the second half, and I was on cloud nine, and then suddenly Belgium just kind of showed their superior talent. There was a looping header from Jan Vertonghen that I still don't know what happened, and we lost tragically 3-2 in the end, but Japan, もう本当に残念でしたけど、it was fucking really close. It was really close. And I really thought we were about to do something. But again, we fought very honorably, as we must, you know, talk everything in my warrior culture.
I know, it sounds very
honorably. The samurai fought, blue samurai fought very honorably. And also, shout out to the Japanese fans picking up after themselves in the stands after every game, like just cleaning up the area because, you know, that's how we get, we're considerate.
And the team cleaned up their locker room and left a thank you note
in Russian.
In Russian.
They wrote in Cyrillic.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have good manners.
So you were on cloud nine, and then Belgium put you on cloud nine!
Yeah.
That would make more sense if their main language was German.
Shout out. Yeah. How do you say that in Flemish? So,
yes. I just unhinged my jaw for that one. That was great.
Unhinged so I could eat this egg. So there is that. Then this morning, Sweden and Switzerland played in a kind of not very interesting match. Sweden,
a very blonde game.
Very blonde game. Although Switzerland is a pretty diverse team. But yes, that's fine. The more interesting news is we found out today that John Obi Mikel, who's the captain of the Nigerian national team, so in the last group stage match against Argentina, where they lost 2-1 to Argentina, he basically found out hours before the match that his father was kidnapped, and they told him, we will shoot him if you tell anybody that he's kidnapped. Just run that ransom money, and he'll be good, but don't say shit. So he basically carried that with him into the last group stage match, didn't tell a single person because he didn't want to distract the team going into their final group game. If they had just drew 1-1, Nigeria would have advanced. But tragically, I mean, yes, he had to play with all this on his mind. His father was released. The police got him out.
Okay.
But he was like tortured and is actually in the hospital. And it's not even the first time his dad has been kidnapped. So that's a wild, wild story from the World Cup. You really don't know what some of these players are thinking about when they're playing. And this man was finding out hours before his father was kidnapped.
I didn't watch that game. How did he play? Could you tell it maybe like affected his performance?
I didn't watch him that closely because I just sort of caught the highlights. But I don't think...
he was weeping openly the whole game. But yeah, I don't know if that affected his play much.
Yeah. I mean, they said he basically...
Over and over.
What it sounds like, he just pulled it together as much as he could.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of a shitty story, but yeah, it's the World Cup. It has more storylines than just winners and losers like that.
Damn.
So yes, John Obi Mikel, hope your dad recovers fine, and also, you know, let's maybe get more brolic security detail around your parents or something.
Yeah, email me.
You'll hack it.
I'll code something.
Yeah.
And finally, the feel-good story that we're all clinging to for dear life, like some of the characters in the story, the Thai soccer team that was presumed dead when they went missing inside a cave for 10 days, inside a cave that flooded, and were found, I think, yesterday or the day before by a diving team that was just like going, you know, swimming around, exploring this cave, seeing if they could find anyone. You know, so they brought them food. They brought them fresh water. Not food, actually. They're bringing them like those gels that runners eat because that's the only
power
thing
they gel.
Can like. Yeah, you can't like bring a pizza underwater to them. So they're like just bringing them power gels.
They eat what? Wait, what do they eat?
Just like it's basically
like marathon
sucrose.
Runners? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like just like just calories
dense.
In a gel form. It's
health
like
goo.
Yeah, health goo.
Health goo.
Got
yes.
It.
It's Soylent Green.
Yes,
it's people.
But it's now being reported that because the caves are so flooded and won't be unflooded for months because it's the rainy season, they will either have to learn to dive like the ragtag group of underdogs that they are, or wait for the water to recede.
It would be months.
Yes. For months.
I don't. This, I mean, like I said, we need to option the fuck out of this.
Yeah.
These kids doing just like their diving classes and the little puddle area they have. And they're like, I can't even imagine. Because the water visibility, it's not like it's water, right? Like, it's like mud.
Right. Like, it's like brown through. Water. It's and like also, swamp, yeah. The question I have is if they're in a cave where like there is no sunlight, like animals that live inside caves, they
Gollum.
Just yeah they yeah. evolve to not have eyes because you just like there's no point in having eyes because there it's I, like such a complete
I like that
of,
evolved trait. You go there's no point yeah. having eyes.
Right.
Honestly, there's no
have
point
you
down
seen
here.
Those lizards
yeah, yeah,
though,
right.
that are there's just like smooth up
don't
top
need them
because yeah
what's the point
like, why would I have them
ain't no water ain't no bite down
so
here.
that was something that I just like yesterday I was saying the coach kind of fucked up by getting
kind
them
of?
Lost in the cave. But think about this. For the past 9 to 10 days, he's been in pitch dark with 12 kids on like this tiny patch of sloping dirt, and he managed to keep them all alive where like nobody could see literally anything. Like
right.
That's pretty, I don't know. Or maybe the kids were like keeping him alive and he was just like, oh no.
They're like, it's okay,
I fucked
coach.
Up so bad.
I'm never going to coach again.
But it's still, I don't know. Like when those people came up, not only hadn't they spoken with anybody besides themselves, they hadn't like seen anything. They'd
yeah.
just been like complete darkness.
That's got to be so disorienting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope at the very least, you know, just like PlayStation, Sony, like put a care package together.
Seriously.
Bring them that PlayStation, a little light, like a living room setup. Be like, look. I know it's probably a tall order to get you guys to become expert divers through
right.
low visibility water, but we got this PS4,
that's
some new
cool.
games, got God of War.
Yeah.
Like that.
You would think that like an expert diver would be able to like hold them and swim out, but I
like
guess
tandem diving.
Yeah.
Also, isn't there like a small like submarine, like submersible
like a bubble
that they
thing?
Can just like,
yeah.
yeah, like surely there's some
clearly,
vehicle.
I think it must be they're like the crevices are so small or something that they
right.
can't. That's probably why they have to bring power gel and not, you know, Taco Bell
right.
or whatever
right.
to them. I got it again. Don't play in caves.
Right. That
a simple
is.
Lesson we all learned.
Yeah.
You guys, it's been so fun joining our podcasts together.
Yay, thanks for having us.
Pod yeah. crossover.
Ooh. Pod cross. Where
Pod
can people,
buns.
First of all, find the Bechdel cast?
Well, you can find us on the How Stuff Works Network now.
The Hates Let's What's Up Network.
Hates Let's What's Up. And what are some movies that you guys have done recently? What are some movies you got coming up?
Ooh, well, the reason that I had Google searched for coded gay Disney villains is we are about to record an episode about Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
be on the lookout for that. We had the two of you on for separate episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Snow White
mm-hmm.
and the Seven Dwarfs for Jack. The Rock with mm-hmm. Miles.
His wife.
His wife.
Two great episodes.
Lots of pregnancy talk.
Lots of pregnancy talk.
And then other episodes we have coming up, Lord of the Rings, of course, featuring Gollum,
the tongue puncher himself.
Cute.
The tongue puncher.
And yeah, so check us out. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Bechdelcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys look at famous movies or just whatever movies with an eye towards like feminism and
mm-hmm.
how
the treatment of women, the female characters. Yeah.
Yeah. Our most recent episode is on Her, which is about toxic masculinity and computer hacking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What if we hacked feelings?
Okay. And then individually, where can people find you guys?
Oh, you can follow me at Caitlin Durante on Twitter and Instagram.
All right.
You can find me on Twitter.com at Jamie Loftus Help and Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar.
Great. And do you guys have any tweets that you've been enjoying? I always like to spring this on people when they have no time to prepare.
Good.
I pretty much only look at my own Twitter feed and laugh at it and with all my
yeah, that's
hilarious jokes.
How it's supposed
so,
to be. So shout yourself out.
Yeah, you can check out my Twitter. A recent tweet was... Uncle Drew is not about a man named Drew who gets bitten by his radioactive uncle.
Hey.
I tweet that joke for basically any movie that it applies to.
So. Here's a recent tweet that I didn't get to talk about. So Mike's Hard Lemonade blocked me on Twitter. And I tweeted at them, like, what's going on? And then they said, did not mean to block you. We'd love to hear a Mike's podcast. And then I immediately signed a 5-year exclusive deal with Smirnoff Ice.
Oh,
so
great.
Everyone can block Mike's Hard Lemonade and miss me with that shit in the
oh,
future.
Shit. The ice woman cometh.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And I just want to shout out Kate Berlant tweet. I'm a size 10 in Birkenstocks. I just like that. I don't know why you tweet that shit, but more power to you.
Honest and raw.
Yeah, let them know.
Those hard truths.
Those are big. Those are kind of big. Okay.
Yeah.
Got me thinking. Wiki feet. What's going on, Wiki feet?
Ooh, I wonder what Kate Berlant's Wiki feet score is. Sorry to sound so perverted when I said that.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh.
My rating is still beautiful. Because I hacked it. My feet look like shit.
You can follow me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. And a tweet that I've been enjoying on said platform. Devon Romanoff tweeted, if it looks that Sarah Silverman is parting the Red Seas of hate so love can come through, you're right. Can't wait for the return of Moses, Sarah. Sarah Silverman, I love you, America. #Hulu. And then Steve Agee responded, I saw her pee in a Pringles can once. Which is a great way to
multitude,
completely undercut
baby.
your friend. And you can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Oh, today we're going to play a song by King Garbage, which is Scott Pruitt, his indie label, the thing that he's on. No, it's an artist called King Garbage. It's just like the name. It's called Lost in the Sauce, because some of us are definitely lost. In the sauce. It's got a good, you know, it's got a good vibe to it. Like, I don't know. I can't describe it more than things having good vibes at this point. But it's good. And I mostly like the name King Garbage.
I like the name Mama Honey Meow, which is someone who tweeted at me and said, I just needed to say that I am in podcast love with Lil Xan. That is all.
So, my SoundCloud album is dropping extremely soon.
It's just sounds of you eating tikka out of a diaper.
It's lost in the tikka sauce.
Lost in the tikka sauce.
Yeah, and we will be publishing a sort of fun mini-sode tomorrow, so check back in for that. Yeah, so we'll talk to you guys tomorrow because we are a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye!
Bye! Bye.
Look, be a lady, gone and dawn. Look, be my baby, who's moving on. Lost in the sauce, where my mind feels
of my number.